All right, morning. So I know what you're all thinking. Simon has already asked me, are you speaking on predestination? Don't worry, I won't be going too deep. So I have been leading our holiday Bible club all week. I've been standing up at the front like this, trying to figure out how to join everything together and trying to make myself look like enough of an idiot that the kids laugh at me, but not enough of an idiot that they don't respect me. And it's a very delicate balance to get. So I'm trying to get it here again today. So we have been looking at a memory verse about growing up. So this question, what do you want to be when you grow up? It gets asked so often, And I'm going to be honest with you, I still don't think I've grown up. I'm very childish. I'm going to do a different C.S. Lewis quote. He's not theological in this one, but it is based on 1 Corinthians. He said, when I became a man, I put away childish things, like the fear of being childish and of being very grown up. I like being childish. Childishness is a good thing to me. In fact, I have here one of my creations. This is my, it's already snapped off. This is my little Lego BB-8. I built this when I was 24. This is my Christmas present last year, and I love it. I had 2 days building this, and it was fantastic. It was the best fun. But we still get asked, what do we want to be when you grow up? So I'd like to know, if you are young, what would you like to be when you grow up? And if you are grown up, what did you want to be when you were young? Can I have the wee ice cream mic, as Simon calls it? Put up your hands if you're brave enough to tell us. Anybody brave enough? I'm just going to start picking. Oh, we've one over here. I'm going to run. What do you want to be, Maya?
A teacher.
A teacher. Brilliant. You can join Holiday Bible Club leaders. Anybody else? Anybody else? What do you want to be when you grew up? Oh, up high. Shout, Asher. A tennis player. Fantastic. That's a great aspiration. That's fantastic. Anybody else? Come on, adults. Brave. What do you want to be when you were a kid? Oh, a couple back here. I'm going to be fit by the end of this. What do you want to be?
A joiner.
A joiner. Fantastic. Fantastic. Evil hands here. So we all want to be something when we grow up. We all had an idea in some way, shape, or form. But we also need to grow up with God. And that is kind of what our verse is speaking on today. So I'm going to flash up our memory verse from the week, from Holiday Bible Club. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." So we've been thinking about that, and we broke it up a wee bit into different parts and joined it all together. But I think this Potter's verse also gives us a little demonstration of what we should do when we're growing up. So some people, maybe not me so much, wanted to be a potter, maybe. Maybe you do want to make something. You want to be creative. You want to do something like that. You want to use your hands. And that's 100%. You can do that. And I follow this guy on Instagram. He's called Eric Landon. And he has a pottery shop in Copenhagen. And he's fantastic, and I love his Instagram. And it's just full of all pictures of him making his ceramics and making things like that. But there's something very, very special. If you look at the ones that are videos, they have this little... the laser doesn't work. If you see the little video icon up on the top, they're all soft clay. He takes videos when it's soft, but photos when it's done. The soft clay isn't finished yet. The soft clay is still moving. The soft clay could be anything yet. It needs to be videoed. You can't take a snapshot of it because it's not done yet. But the fired pots are. They're frozen. They're frozen in time. You can't use them anymore. You can't rework them anymore. And I love that. I love that little poetic motion in his Instagram. So if we look a little bit at our verse, we want the potter to shape our clay. Whether we're young or old, the potter needs to shape our clay. And of course, the potter is God. The potter is God in this. So I'm going to read a wee bit more of our verse. I apologize, I'm going to switch translations here because I had NIV and I didn't know it was going to be in ESV, so I apologize. This is a word that came from Jeremiah to the Lord. "Go down to the potter's house and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does?" declares the Lord. "Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." So Jeremiah here was looking for a sermon. He was told that he needed a sermon. So handily enough, he was told to go to the potter's house, and he found his sermon. I wish that could happen more often. I wish you could just turn up and be told what you need to do. But it happened for Jeremiah. And the previous chapter, he had been talking about Judah. God had been given Judah instructions, specific area of Israel. He had been telling them how to live for God and what is against God. He had been showing them rules and things like that, things that allowed them to grow in God and what is good for him. And then this directly follows it and kind of reinforces that. It reinforces what he wanted Judah to be. But there's a few little things in this. The potter always knows what's best for this clay. If you're working with it, he knows when it's imperfect. There's nothing wrong with the potter in this verse. There's nothing wrong with the person making the clay. The clay has the problem. The clay is the one that's imperfect. It needs to be worked by the potter's hands. And that's true of God too. God can see our imperfections. Sometimes we know our imperfections. Sometimes they're small. Maybe it's a wee bit of grain in the clay. Something that, you know, doesn't look right on the end. So that's fine. We'll rework it. Maybe it's huge. Maybe it's a big crack down it or something like that. That needs to be completely reworked into something new or started again. Maybe the clay itself doesn't know its imperfection. Maybe we're sitting here and we're going, "Oh, no, it's fine. Fine. Absolutely fine. Absolutely fine." But the potter knows. Sometimes that can be true of us too. We might not notice our imperfection, but God does, and God will direct you in this path. I said I wasn't going to talk about predestination. But there's another little nuance here. We've got the potter who's molding the clay. He knows what's best for it. He knows when it goes wrong. But the clay doesn't speak back. That would be really, really odd. Be really odd if the clay started speaking back. No. I want to be a big, tall pot. Big, tall pot. No, I don't want to be a wide pot. That's not good. That's not good at all. The potter knows what's best for the clay, and the clay doesn't speak back. And sometimes we fall a wee bit short of that. Sometimes we think we know what's best for our lives too. And sometimes we think, "Oh, I know. I'm going to be, I'm going to be a salesman. I'm going to go door to door." But maybe you are really unpersuasive and you're just like, "Oh, that's all right. That's fine. You don't want to buy my knife set? That's fine. That's 100%. But in reality, you realize, I think these knives could be better. I think we should redesign them. Maybe that was a better job for you. Maybe that was your better calling." But if we resist, if we say, "No, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it well, and I'm going to keep doing it, even though I'm rubbish at it, over and over and over again," yeah, we will get better. But you need to listen if that's the direction you really should be going in. This can be tricky sometimes when we think of God. You think God is always loving, and he is always loving. And he always wants what's best for us, the same way as a father always wants what's best for his child. During a holiday Bible club, we had a lot of sweets. In fact, we had too many sweets. One day, I started throwing them out to the kids. So if anyone came home really hyper, I apologize for that. That was my fault. I was literally throwing sweets at them. But sometimes a father knows to go, "No more sweets before bed." And he looks like the worst person in the world to the child. "What are you doing? How can you do this to me? You've taken away my sweets before bed." But he knows that you won't sleep unless you don't get those sweets. Those sweets will just make you hyper. They'll make you run around like an idiot and won't go to bed for ages. So this is around our soft clay. We want to be the soft clay. You know God's influence on your life and listening to what he wants to do with you, letting him mold you in your life, being the soft clay. The second part of this verse is about letting clay harden. So I've got some little things from way back yesteryear. I'll take a wee drink sometime. I made this when I was in P1. This is a hedgehog, if you can't tell. I think we might be able to get it up on screen. Oh, I'm going to hold it. Hey, there it is. This is my little hedgehog. It looks all right from the side, doesn't it? It looks okay. It's got little matchsticks here for little spines. But if I turn it sideways, oh dear, it's very thin. It would be a very, very underweight hedgehog. That's not great. The second one I'm going to show you is a snowman. This is the snowman. And this one, there we go. The snowman is actually dated on it. This was made on the 31st of January, 1999. So I was 5 when I made this. Wasn't so good at faces. So those of you of a nervous disposition, please look away from the screen now. So that's not good. That's not a good face. It's really horrendous. Like, it's horrifying. We put it out every year in our house at Christmas time just to scare people coming in the door. Because, like, why not? But these things are what they are. They're stopped. I can't take the snowman and go, oh, that face, that's so rubbish. I'm just going to bring it. It's dried. Solid. That would have been awkward if it broke. It can't be reshaped. It's chosen what it has to be. It has to be this. There's no going back from this. So that's what the second part of the verse is kind of about. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended for it. That can be difficult to understand. That can be really, really difficult. Like, as I was saying before, God is always love, but hearing disaster planned for nations doesn't sound, that sounds a bit iffy. But this clay would be useless if it was hardened. It's still in the potter's hands. It hasn't hardened yet. But if it was hardened, it couldn't be redone. Sometimes you do need to be completely remolded. But there's a key thing in this. The clay is never thrown away. It's not, this is useless, out it goes. The potter reuses the clay that he has. This is talking about nations being destroyed, even nations being recreated. But they're not completely thrown away. It's reusing, it's reworking, it's recreating. And that is what our memory verse is about, being born anew in Christ, a new creation, to do the good works he had planned for it. God knows what that vessel is supposed to be used for. He knows what he's shaping it into. And that's what our memory verse is speaking into. This has happened throughout the Bible even. If we think of Peter. Peter was, when Jesus was taken away, Peter betrayed him. Well, didn't betray him. He renounced him 3 times. He was at this low, low point in his life. So, so bad. He felt like nothing. But our God forgives. That wasn't him out. He was forgiven. He was restored. And then at Pentecost, he gives a sermon that saves 3,000 people. That's the same clay. The same clay. It wasn't thrown away. It wasn't thrown out. It was remade into another pot, another purpose. Because when we're shaped, we become the masterpiece for God. That's what we want to be. We want to be God's masterpiece. So if we let him take us, mold us, shape us as the soft clay, not resisting his path, we will be shaped into this wonderful masterpiece for him, ready to do the good works he has planned for us. Just as our memory verse is saying, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We all need to be created anew. We all need Christ in our lives. We all need to be remolded, maybe completely once. Maybe we just need to be reshaped. Maybe there's that little area of your life that just needs reshaping, just needs touched up, that wee speck of dirt that needs taken out of the clay. And these remoldings will make you into God's masterpiece. God will never give up on you. God will forgive you. You just need to know his plans. You just need to pray and think about what God wants to do with you. Let him mold you. Let him shape you. We can resist. We can become hard clay. But that can't be reshaped. That is useless. If you are resisting, if you're hardened of your heart, how can you be remade? The clay is solid. So that's our challenge for us tonight, or today, this morning. What time is it? Where am I? We are supposed to be God's masterpiece. Do you need completely renewed? Do you have a crack maybe that needs covering over? Is there a wee bit of dirt that you know about that you need taken out? Is there something you don't know that needs taken out? Because you're all planned to do good things. God loves you all and wants to see you his masterpiece. Take that away today and think about you. Think about yourself. Spend some time with God. And ask, what do you want to mold me into? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for being the all-knowing potter. We thank you for you being our Father, our good, good Father, who wants to see us be your masterpiece. We pray for those today who need remade. We pray for those today who need their cracks covered, who need their blemishes removed. Those who don't know about their blemishes, show them now, Lord. Lord, we want to be your masterpiece. Let us be the soft clay in your hands this week. Show us your purpose and send us out with your Spirit to do the good things you intended for us to do in this world. In your name we pray.